Now, I hope you all took my advice and had a good rest last night, didn't play and all those kinds of things. And I must admit that I didn't quite take my advice. I had the very good fortune of falling amongst evil people. You know, like Jean and Mo and Paul and Mary. And they led me astray. But we went to a very important cultural center in Prince George. It's called Cadillac Ranch. And if you didn't see the BC Old Time Fiddlers in the Coast last night, you really missed something. All the fiddlers all the way from about, I think, 5 years old, Mary's granddaughter, to the old timers really, really had a good time there. And Jerry, Paul, and Chuck had a jam session, which they said they might try and replicate when we get to the WASC Center. It was really a lovely evening. I'm now asking Glenn McKinnon to come up and make a comment, announcement.
How's that? Can everybody hear me? It is with a great deal of sadness that we learnt this week of the passing of Don McLaughlin's father. Don McLaughlin's father was a veteran of the Second World War, an RAF pilot who flew trips in and out of India. Very dangerous mission. Don, I would like to condolences of the members of this assembly to you and your family. I know it was a great loss, but probably a wonderful heritage. And while we're standing, just a moment or two, I'd like you to respect, pay your memories, pay your thoughts to those who served our country during war and gave of their life so that we may continue our democratic process as we are these days. Just a moment. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Ken Carty has got a few announcements to make.
Thank you, Jack. I'll try and be quick. I just wanted to make two or three points. I wanted to tell you that at least three of the facilitators will not be back in the fall. They're moving on to other opportunities in work and school. Cameron Broughton, Julia Lockhart, and Mark Pickup are all going to be gone. We hope that the others will be with us. But again, given the nature of graduate students, you're never quite sure. But those who see them and have appreciated working with them may want to have a word with them this morning. Maybe the last chance you'll have. A couple of other things. I have put on your desk something called Electoral Developments to read about. There are a short note about a number of documents that are available for people who don't have easy access on the web. We'd be happy to try and provide those materials for you if you really want to read them. Some of them are really quite long reports, but they're indications of the amount of work that's being done around electoral reform in this country and other places in the last half year. I want to introduce one other person that some of you will have seen. She's been around quite a lot at all our sessions and has been at a lot of the public hearings. That's Amy Lang. Maybe Amy would stand up. I think, I don't know how many of you know Amy or about her. Amy's a Toronto girl. We don't hold that against her. She's a Maple Leaf fan. She went to school in Montreal and is now a doctoral student in sociology at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, one of the great American public universities. And her research project for her doctoral thesis is really the Citizens Assembly. She's interested in citizen participation and citizen involvement. And so, you know, we are her study. And I just wanted you to know who she was and that you'll probably be seeing more about her over the next year. Her supervisors tell me that she's one of the great students they have at the University of Wisconsin. I want to tell you that you may remember that just before we started, we sent you a rather longish questionnaire. And that was really part of our attempt to kind of measure how a citizens' assembly works. No one's ever done this before, so part of our responsibility is to do a kind of report at the end of this process about how this whole experience of a citizens' assembly worked. And that first questionnaire was a kind of a part of a before snapshot. Well, I want to tell you that in the next week or so, I hope to send you another one of these questionnaires, which really kind of is a kind of after a learning phase snapshot. What have we learned? How have we changed? How have our ideas and our views changed? What's our experience been? And I really do hope everybody will, as they did the first time, take a few minutes and fill it out and send it back. These things are all coded anonymously by an independent firm. They don't know who they're coming from. And when we're all done, we can then kind of take them and look at what the overall experience has been. So when you get it in the next week or so, please take a few minutes and send it back. I should also tell you, just for the protection of Dr. Sharman and myself, Campbell's going to be away from about July 19th to August the 7th. He's actually taking a holiday. I'm going to be away from about the 13th of July till about the 3rd or 4th of August. So if we're a little slow in answering emails or responses, it's not because we don't love you. It's because we've fled. And our wives have demanded that we go on holiday. But we will be back. And in that period, though, you're not going to get a quick response. Thanks very much.
And before we ask Leo to come up and conduct two items of business, I want to tell you something that Leo is doing in July, which is really quite exciting. He's been asked by CETA, the Canadian Institute for Development Agency, who works with other countries in terms of development projects, and there's a fairly major one in the People's Republic of China. And Leo will be working there for 10 days, working out of Beijing, to help them understand citizen engagement in terms of trying to build a democratic institution. So that's and this will all be about the Citizen Assembly. And so, only to again remind you that 11:30 sharp, we got to be out of here, and now it's my pleasure to give you Leo business. Oh, I am very sorry. I do want to recognize a visitor today. I have to put this down to my evil friends who. But I would like to recognize an MLA for Prince George North and a person who's also Minister of Energy and Mines, and that is the Honorable Pat Bell. Pat Bell, thank you for joining us. My apologies. That's why I have three people with me on the stage. Leo.
Just to carry on with Ken's short announcement about when he's going to be away, there won't be many people in the office, I guess, in July, because I intend to take a few days to deal with jet lag afterwards. So it'll be towards the end of July, beginning of August, before I return. There's two items to deal with this morning. The first one was supposed to be an announcement. Decision on Sunday evening dinner and Sunday lunch. About a third of you have complied with our humble request to complete the forms and give us a response by 5 o'clock yesterday. Was it two-thirds? I'm sorry, yeah. About 98.99. So there's still a third of you that are sitting on the fence. You got to get into the habit of making decisions, folks. It's not going to go away. So If you could find your sheets and turn them in before you leave today, we'd certainly appreciate it. The other, and it's tied to your agenda, so you can pull it out of your agenda. The other one is a bit more difficult. I did provide you with some reasoning and rationale behind the question of whether or not the deliberation phase would be open or closed or partially opened. And so the rationale that we have, the recommendation that we gave you is there. Other people apparently have become aware of the recommendation that is placed before you with respect to deliberations. Any of these are people such as Amy, who was introduced this morning, and other observers who have been around throughout the whole process, and they feel a little bit left out. It's difficult to say what kind of criteria you would develop to allow some in and some out on the discussion groups. We discussed it among ourselves again, and as an administration, our recommendation remains the same. A number of people have indicated to us that even having observers not participating provides a bit of an intimidating environment, and that people would be more comfortable in having the discussion groups where people are going to get into personal value sets and so on to be able to do that in private. And so that's our recommendation to you. It's your decision. It's a decision that came out of the Gibson Report. And so that's where we're at. Is there any question or something you want to raise? Yes. Mike? 22.
I was just wondering about the Knowledge Network. They've been filming us through the entire process. Are they now just going to be filming in the plenary session as well?
Well, they are kind of, we have a contractual relationship with the Knowledge Network, and we haven't developed criteria around that yet in terms of permission, but we have a special relationship with them, and we need to spend a little bit of time after this weekend maybe thinking about certain exceptions. Another one? Are we ready then to call the question on this? Does somebody want to make a motion? 13?
Sorry, I forgot my thing today. It's Margaret. If the motion is going to be put now, I would like to argue that graduate students ought to be able to submit a proposal and some conditions around the treatment of information and confidentiality and so on, and be able to participate. I think it's an appropriate thing to do.
Thank you. And it's something we're thinking about. We'll bring back some criteria on that to the assembly at the first session. Is someone prepared to make a motion? Tony? Mike 8?
I'm prepared to make the motion as you presented it.
That would be recommendation option 2. Seconder, Brooke Shields? Are we ready for the question? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Yes, we can make decisions. Well, that's just great. Now we're going to now talk about decisions and process, about the decisions we're going to make in the fall session and the process we're going to use, and we're going to put this, have we got this on the screen? It's coming. It has to wait. You see, I don't use this technology, therefore I just expect it to work. How's our time going? Or we're doing really well on time. We're just moving along just like crazy. There we go. Now, there's 2 points I want to make. I think the 2 most important points that I'd like to make this morning. The slides, by the way, are in your agenda. They're about the various decisions, the decision tree and the process. They are attached to your agenda, and you can have them in your checkout. In your, the content of the slides, yeah. There are 2 really important points I want to make. And the first is that we need to focus. When we meet in the fall, we've got our first weekend where we hear presentations, and we do have a very important working Sunday morning, and then 4 more weekends. By the end of the 4th weekend, if not before, we need a decision. We really then have 4 weekends in which to grapple with the decisions we've got. So we need focus. To do that, we've got to stick to our mandate. And our mandate actually is very simple. Our mandate is, should we recommend a change in the voting system? Should there be a change? And if not, why not? And if so, to which system and why? That's our mandate. It's as simple as that. There are other questions that we have to consider to help us get to answer those questions, such as what are our values, what are our relative values, and a whole bunch of things. But our mandate is very focused, and we need to have that focus, and we really need to take all non-mandate issues and park them for a while. On weekend 6, hopefully we've got some time to talk about some of those things, and some of those things that we might get into our report under other considerations. So that's one thing I'm urging we do, is that we have focus and get on with the mandate. The second point I'd like to make is that the purpose for the fall is really quite different than the purpose that drove us in the January, February, March, and actually during the hearings. The purpose is really quite different. The purpose for the spring was to learn. We were learning a lot. Many of us knew almost nothing about electoral systems. And therefore, the presentations, the style of discussion groups, the way the facilitators managed the discussion groups was all directed towards helping members learn the material. Quite different now in the fall. The purpose is to decide. It's a totally different purpose. This is where you guys take over. It's your process. It's your questions. You have to arrive at an answer to should we change, and if so, to what. But how we get there, the questions we ask, and the process, they're yours. Our job, those guys here, the ones on the stage, the other staff, the facilitators, is to help you get there. And so what I'm suggesting here today are some suggested questions, some suggestions about process, but that is all they are. They are listening to you, deliberating among staff, and seeing what other people do. So here are the suggestions. And when you go to your discussion groups, take a look at these and then say, do they make sense to us? What other questions should we be asking? What kind of order of questions should we be looking at? What about this process? Can we add new ideas? And whatever. So that's when we come back, we want your ideas about the questions and about the process. I'm going to review them quickly and briefly, but when you get to your discussion groups, we want your ideas and bring them back. And when we get back, we're going to listen to all the new ideas. We're not going to try and reach consensus by this morning. We'll write them up. We're going to send them all back to you, send your ideas back to you, and through several iterations, get some approximation of understanding about how we, what questions we have this fall and the process we use. Okay. Next. Oh, we got it there. Get my things in order. The first question, and you've suggested this, I think, to us, that we ought to consider is what core values ought to underpin our electoral system. And it would seem, as I've suggested to you, reasonably important that we have some fair clarity on what our values are before we go and select an electoral system. Before we say, listen, we need no change, period, or we need STV, or whatever, we really should talk about what our core values are. What do we hold most dear in terms of our voting systems? The second question, I do believe we've already answered that question. Do we wish to consider a change? That's not to predetermine the outcome of our deliberations. This is not to say we're going to have a change, but do we wish to consider other options? I believe I read this crowd as saying, right, we do want to look at other options, correct? Good. Then let's get to the next questions. These are four questions that were put to you on March 21 when we left, and then we sent them back to you again to have you ponder and think about them. And these seem to be some of the basic core kinds of questions once we look at values. Do you want some measure of proportionality in any new system? Do you want some measure of local representation in any new system? Do we want different kinds of choices on our ballots? And is there some other fundamental aspect of the electoral system we need to consider? It's very important as we look at these questions and respond to them that we also must take a look at the values which are represented in these questions. And as was discussed in the forum over the last couple of weeks, a very important matter was raised, and that is as we kind of tease out the values that are implicit in the response to these questions, we also must rank those values. Sure, there are values related to proportionality, and there are values related to local representation, but which are most important? You're going to have to start making some decisions, which are most important. And the other is, which are most important to whom? Are some of these values more important to people who live in rural areas rather than urban areas? And these are the kinds of decisions and relative decisions that we're going to have to make. Thanks. Other questions. What systems would accommodate, then, our response to the above questions? After we've looked at these questions, looked at our values, what systems would accommodate them? What are the implications of each of these systems in terms of how the legislature, the government, would work? This, by the way, is very much explicit in our mandate. If we propose a new system, we have to describe that system, we have to give a rationale for it, and we have to say what are the implications for the government and politics and the behavior of the legislature. We must be very explicit about that. We must also talk about what are the trade-offs and the implications for voters, and what would the details of implementation look like. And again, that is one of the responsibilities we have under our mandate. If we do recommend a new system, we have to talk about what would it look like in implementation. And as Ken Carty tells us, the devil's in the details, and that could be some very interesting discussion. Then we ask, after we've responded to our initial questions, we've looked at various kinds of systems that might respond to our values and questions, which of these different systems would best serve British Columbians? We'll probably have several we'll look at if we get to that point. We will get to that point because we are going to consider other systems. Which would serve British Columbia best? And we will choose one. Because as you know, in our mandate, if we make a recommendation for change, it's one system. We're not giving the voters a choice if it goes to a referendum. We ask ourselves, at least this is what we're suggesting to you, do we clearly prefer this alternative system to our present single-member plurality system? Then secondly, and again, following our mandate, considering carefully the strengths and weaknesses of both systems, do we recommend the current single-member plurality system be retained? Or do we recommend the adoption of a specified new system? What is the rationale for a recommendation? Why are we recommending no change? If that's the case, why are we recommending a change? Why are we recommending a specific change? And if a new system is recommended, specifically, how will this new system operate? This we have to spell out in some detail in our report. Again, it is required of us to do so. And then if there is a referendum, what will be the question? We need to know that by week 5. Hopefully we'll have some inclination by week 4. If we are going to recommend a change, we should probably know by week 4. And we should be working on what that referendum question might look like. There is an obligation for us to work with the Attorney General's Department. Again, I keep on saying, if there is a referendum, just to make sure that we get the wording right so that technically it will serve the purposes which we have intended. So by week 5, that must be fairly clear to us. And some words about the process. Again, suggestions to you, and these are the kinds of things we'd like you to take to your discussion groups. Just as you do the questions and wrestle with them and think about them and give us your ideas, we really, really want your ideas about process. We want to know what values will guide our work in decision making. You know, remember, we did establish in our first day a set of shared values. And I noticed in reading these this morning, one of them, of course, is focus on mandate. Boy, I'm glad that you were so brilliant. And that one of them was to focus on mandate, because that's what we have to do. But I think with all these values that are here, I think we've got to ask a couple more questions. We agreed on them, but we might want to say to ourselves, are there others that we might want to add? One or two others that are really important in the decision-making phase. The other question I do believe that we have to ask, and this is where we have to make a lot of little decisions, and that is, of these shared values, which are most important? Which are the most important to us as we go through in making decisions? Which are just there, number one, so that when we're having a tough time in our discussion groups and having this debate, one of us will say, but listen, you know, our most fundamental set of value is this, and how does that square with how we said we would work with each other? And of course, we tried to represent this graphically, and the point I want to make here, of course, is one of the things that we felt that we valued very much is a lot of fun, okay? And I just want to assure you, in spite of the comments that were made about me on Friday night, I do like fun. I believe in fun just like I believe in magic, and that's what's magic is what this is going to be in the end. It's going to be so wonderful and everything else. People are going to say, my goodness, this is magic. So we're going to ask you for your suggestions. How might we simplify our work, maintain our energy, provoke thought and new ideas, and especially perhaps, I'm going to be a very focused guy over the next 6 months, how do we maintain focus? Our deliberation in the plenary groups, plenary and in groups, again, will be dialogue. We're committed to the idea of kind of listening to each other, understanding where others are coming from, understanding their values, trying to find that common ground. When we go to values, very often we find the differences are very, very few. What we are going to suggest is there's far more reporting back in the fall. A lot of you have suggested that, by the way, and this is picking up your suggestions. A lot more reporting back to the plenary. And when we're reporting back, attending more to minority ideas. We want, you know, we clearly want to know where people are, but we want to know where maybe only a few people were. And why were they there? And maybe pick it up all throughout the plenary. You know, there's a little minority opinion here and there's a minority opinion there. And the whole idea of consensus is you listen very hard to the majority, but you listen just as hard to the minority positions. And you see, try and find out the basis for those differences and to see if it's possible to integrate these ideas, to find a place that everybody can support. That's what we try to do in consensus. So we have to listen very carefully to minority views. Our decisions probably will be, we've discussed this in the WASC Center before we left, you'll discuss it in your groups today, we'll discuss it later, but our decisions probably will be proposing that there will be incremental decisions that can be revisited. Make little decisions, get consensus in the group, say that's fine, that's where we'll go, but maybe 2 hours later or the next week we say we want to revisit that decision. You know, we're not quite sure that that's where we want to be. So you keep on going back and forth and revisiting decisions until you find a place that we're all very comfortable. And hopefully then come to some consensus. As someone said, it sounds like a Yogi Berra, something Yogi would say, but nothing is decided until everything is decided. And those who propose consensus feel that this is a pretty good idea, even though we make these decisions. But we just kind of park them and they're there for a while and we move on. And we can revisit. And then in the end, we try to pull everything together and make it a piece. I'm going to conclude with a advice I got from a very, very good friend of mine who's been working on these kinds of things for years and years and years. Her name is Elaine Bernard, and she runs the work-life program at Harvard Law School. And 2 months ago, I was there giving a seminar of some graduate students and faculty members, and I left them with a question that we have. What do we do in the deliberation phase to ensure that we hold together and bring to some consensus? And I want to read her advice, because there's no silver bullets here, by the way. On the question you left with us, how can we avoid a breakdown of the consensus and cooperative atmosphere once the assembly moves into deliberation? In my experience, the ways of preventing it are, 1, building firm, respectful relations before you get to the hard issues. 2, agreeing on process in advance and having both facilitators and participants who are prepared to speak up to issues on process. And 3, agreeing to seek consensus as the best possible option, but be prepared to make a decision based on less than total consensus. The last point is very important, as a total commitment to consensus can set up a very dangerous and undemocratic dynamic, where one or two persons' private agenda can bog down the entire process. Pretty good advice, I think. So I thought I would relay that to you. Last. Other ideas. That's what we want from you when you go to your discussion groups. Ideas about the questions, the sequence of questions, other questions that we need to look at, and ideas about process. Are we kind of in ballpark? What other kinds of suggestions might you have? I've got a very, very specific suggestion for Diana Byford this morning, which we'll share with others later. But that's what we want, your ideas. Any general kinds of questions before we maybe get some lights? Anna. 3.
At the beginning you mentioned about the values and ranking the values are the most important value.
Yes.
Is that part of what we're doing today?
No.
Or was that just a general comment?
It's a general comment. It's something that I'm suggesting that we will probably want to do very, very early on when we meet in September.
Yeah.
And I would like to know whether, again, your ideas and how important you think that is to do. Because we do, like those questions that we have, to what extent do you want proportionality? Do you like proportionality? Do you like local representation? But is one more important to you than the other? I mean, you can say yes to both, and that's one. That gives you some direction. But if you say one is more important than the other, that then sets a different direction.
No, I was more talking about the values of the group dynamics. You had all the values that we felt were important for dialogue.
Yes.
I must have misunderstood what you meant.
Well, the shared values we already agreed
shared
on?
Shared values. I thought you said we were going to choose one most important value out of that list.
I'm suggesting you might want to do that early in the fall.
Okay.
You might want to think about whether you can do that. If you get time in your discussion groups after looking at these various questions and the process, if you want to make some suggestions now, or particularly new values, things that are not on that list. I mean, you develop that your first day of meeting. Okay, you've had a lot of experience with each other now. Perhaps there's another value or two you think you'd like to throw out and add to that. When we come back, by the way, it's very important in our reporting, we want to get a full report as possible. And when you report on your group, say, we discussed the same things as that last group, tick them off, but don't give us the full rationale for every one of the items if it's already been given in the previous group. What we want is a lot of ideas so that we can rework them and send them back to you and say, this is what you're saying, and that will be iterative until we have an agreement. Wendy. Number 9. And Will. Yeah.
You showed us the shared values up there. I don't see them in my agenda. Do we have a copy of those with us? Oh, right here. Okay.
Yep, they're there. I think it's Wilf. And what speaker, Wilf? 17. Yes, apparently. Wilf.
Could you elaborate just a bit, Jack, on the involvement of the Attorney General's Department in the writing of the final recommendation?
Yes, I'm happy you raised that one. The ARP report goes to the Attorney General and to the public at the same time. That is, it's our choice, and it will be our choice to make it public at the same time. And I've had discussions with the Attorney General's office, and of course they want to ensure that whatever question is in the referendum is technically correct. We don't want whatever, if there is a referendum, whatever purpose we want to attain, we don't want it jeopardized by having a poorly worded, properly unconstructed referendum question. So what they would like, when we think we're fairly close, is to draft that referendum question and then work with them on it so that it technically it serves the purpose that we want. Finally, it's our agreement, by the way. It's our question, but they want to work with us on that, and that's fair enough. We've not yet worked out the full details of that agreement. I received a draft. I sent it back with comments, and I'm waiting for it to come back so that we can, in essence, maintain that we have control over that final question. Tia, and what speaker are you, Tia? 34. And then Jack over there.
Hi, this is about 5 degrees off topic, but last night I spoke to my husband again at 10 o'clock at night, and he was trying to get the kids in bed. And it just brought home again how much my family, and I know all of our families have really supported us in this, with us being gone so much, and I was just wondering if maybe we could offer an official thanks in the form of a news, like a quote in the newsletter when you issue them, just an official thanks from us as a whole to the families, because without him, I couldn't have been here, so.
Just great idea. We'll do it. Okay? Great idea. We'll do that. Jack, what's 24?
Hello. Sorry. Just two quick suggestions about the questions, which I think are quite comprehensive. Just looking at our terms of reference, I think that if the questions are a kind of work checklist of things that we'll have to have considered adequately in September through December, there are two points I think that we might want to add right near the end. The first is the question on which I think we would need some advice, some expert advice from Ken Campbell, perhaps others. And that speaks specifically to 3A of our terms of reference, where any alternative model that we might suggest or recommend, quote, must be consistent with the Constitution of Canada and the Westminster Parliamentary System. I think these are, certainly the Westminster Parliamentary System is a somewhat fluid concept, but I think for due diligence, we would want to have satisfied ourselves that we have met that terms, that that component of our terms of reference. That's one thing. The second thing right at the end is a question about whether there are other matters that are closely related to our mandate on which we might wish to make comment.
The answer, of course, to the first question is absolutely yes. We must ensure that it's clearly conforms to the Westminster parliamentary system. And Campbell will help us with that. If we need to go to a constitutional lawyer or whatever, we can solicit that advice. We must be absolutely technically perfect. We don't want all the results of our work, you know, fail for some technical reason. Yes, I have indicated previously in a response to the kinds of suggestions here that our report has three parts. One is that which is mandated, as you've discussed. Two, we're going to describe the process. This process is historic, and we're already now recording this, and we will have a part on the process. And, of course, it'll list all the participants, all the members, and all those kinds of things about all the way from the selection phase to the final decision. Third, we're going to have something called other considerations. These will not be recommendations. We do not want to do anything that would take attention from our mandate and a final recommendation. But there are a number of things discussed yesterday and discussed over the last 5 or 6 months that we have heard, that ourselves, but we've heard in the public hearings, that we think are matters of public importance, and we'll discuss those. And that's why I'm hoping by week 5, we know what we're going to do. So that week 6, we're reviewing the work of Cann and Campbell and others. We're writing what you decide. We can then look at those words, but we can also spend some time on that third part, other considerations. Doug? 4.
Jack, what we want to also look at is step 4, or stage 4 in our process. The deliberation phase is stage 3. Step 4 is once we come up with the referendum. Post December 15th, I guess this is through to Leo because you probably will be able to answer this. We want to know what sort of resources are going to be available to educate the public about this referendum question, because we don't want them going to the poll in May of next year uninformed. We need to make sure that members of our citizens of our province know what this referendum is, and we need to understand what sort of resources are there available to make sure that happens in stage 4.
Good. Now that's, of course, Douglas, again, if there is a referendum.
Right.
Right. However, we should consider that. And a lot of you have raised that. I have then since raised it with the Attorney General's Department. Several things there, and discussions haven't been concluded, but they will be reasonably soon. First of all, our website will be maintained. It'll either be maintained, of course, untouched, but our website will be maintained either by some independent agency or by the Attorney General's Department. But the website will be maintained.
Now, Jack, also during that time of Stage 4, we are going to be those, as you said, ambassadors in our 160 different communities. The question was raised this morning at breakfast about support for us from the CA office, if it's even going to be available or open during that time, while we're still promoting this referendum that we may come up with during this Step 4.
The Citizen Assembly office will be disbanded by the end of December. However, what we are negotiating again or discussing with the Attorney General's Department is some independent office that will be for information, coordination in terms of educational information programs about the referendum question. It'll be about, of course, about status quo, the referendum proposal, and whatever, an objective source of information. There seems to be reasonable support for this.
Sure.
And the reason why the office has to close down is that because we are working on this, you've raised it, we cannot propose a system that I think suggests a conflict of interest. We cannot propose a system which basically guarantees some employment for us should there be a referendum. And then, you know,
yeah.
That I would say, well, why not work for a referendum then and give us another 6 months' job? So that the conflict of interest must be clear-cut and not there. But those discussions are ongoing. It will be a modest office, but there will be, I believe, we're going to work towards something where it will be an independent office. And, of course, we as citizens can do whatever we like if there's a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Ken? 20.
I was wondering, it seems to me like the simpler and shorter the referendum question is, the more likely it would be to pass with 60% or more. And I'm wondering the form that the question will take. Will the question actually describe the system in the question, or will there be a separate attachment that people will have to read, or how will that work?
There was a discussion in the Legislative Assembly about 3 or 4 weeks ago on this, and it's a fairly good description and answer about it, by the way, in terms of, and it's very supportive of the kinds of things that I think that we would want to happen. Kimberly is trying to get your attention. My hunch is, if we can do it, I mean, there will be a report. We're going to issue a report, and we're going to try and issue our report, the main part of it, that is, what our recommendation is and the rationale for it. And if we're recommending a new thing, something new, we're going to talk about what the current system is, the strengths and weaknesses, what the new proposal is, strengths and weaknesses, and rationale for change. And hopefully that can be done in nice, clean, simple language, one page of a Vancouver Sun. Something that people will be able to manage and read. If they want more information, of course, they can go to our website. But the report itself on the essence will be but one page. What we are thinking about for the ballot question, the question itself will be, with some preamble, the question will be something like, do you agree with the recommendation as outlined in the report of the Citizens' Assembly on Electoral Reform? Yes or no? And there might be some preamble about what that recommendation is. Harold? Daryl, 30.
Jack, I think you I think you actually answered my question, but I just want to be clear on this. So, and that is there are three phases to the work of the Citizens' Assembly, and the last phase is a deliberation phase and putting together either a recommendation to proceed with another system or to continue with the existing system. After that, our work is done. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it is then up to the individuals as to how they want to proceed in terms of promoting the concept that we came up with.
You are then individual citizens, and you will carry on as a private citizen just as you were before. And if you're invited to go to the Rotary Club to explain what the Citizens Assembly did, that's your choice. I will do the same if there is, by the regardless of the decision, if I'm asked to speak about what the Assembly did. I've already made a couple of engagements. I don't know what the topic will be because we haven't made that decision. But I have said on January 24, I've made some commitments already. We can do that.
Yeah.
Kimberly? Well, on number one.
With the independent company, if they're going to do that, will they inform us as members?
Oh, if there's an independent office, we'll tell you about that. I mean, if there's agreement on that, we'll know that reasonably soon.
Okay.
Like, you know, maybe by about September, and we'll let you know. Okay? Thanks. Linda, 26.
This goes back to the submissions, I think, but I'm wondering when we reach the week that we've made a decision about which direction we're going in, and that's going to be public knowledge. I think we're probably going to experience some further efforts to maybe sway our thinking another way, and I'm wondering if we need to think about what process we're going to use for submissions at that point, or if that's something we need to worry about.
I think we do, and we all know now certain persons who write in the press feel that we've already made up our mind, which we have not. It will be that kind of comment will increase as our discussions carry on, and they are all public, and they will be there. And yes, you will get pressure and criticism, all these kinds of things, all the kinds of things we warned you about in the selection meetings. Yeah. A couple more questions.
The public, if we decide to go to a referendum?
Elections BC is here. We've been chatting with them, but no, they probably will not operate the independent office. No. And then Mary. Let's take one last question. Mary?
Where am I? Microphone one.
One.
I just wanted to follow up on Doug Waller's comment in regards to public education, if there is to be a recommendation for change. We certainly have heard all through the public meetings that the people have said how much they respect the Citizen Assembly and trust the Citizen Assembly in their decisions, and they've put a great deal of onus on us, as we have done, as in this process. And I think it behooves us to make sure that the public is educated. So I just leave that with you.
Right, and that also is a responsibility for us to make sure that our process is clear, focused. We write a great report, and it's clear and simple, because that's going to be a very important part of as a basis for that education. We are now going to reasonably soon break. We're coming back here at 10:45, and we've got to be out of here at 11:30. So when you come back to report, you plan your reports to be nice and crisp, and we'll just move along quite nicely. So we'll see you all back at 10:45. Thank you.